Isaiah 28, if we could, and look into God's Word and talk about Jesus tonight. Isaiah chapter 28, and beginning in verse 14 of Isaiah 28. I believe we were in Isaiah 28 last Sunday night. But beginning in verse 14, "Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then shall ye be trodden down by it." So tonight we're talking about a stone. A stone. Let's pray. Give us your presence and your power and your wisdom, Lord, as we look into your word tonight. We just pray that we would grow through it as we talk about our wonderful Savior, Lord. We commit this time to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in the midst of God talking about a stone, or surrounding this beautiful passage which we're familiar with, we see the world and the unsaved here talking about making a covenant with death. And isn't that just like the world today, believing that they can somehow get away with whatever and just make a covenant and say it's all going to be okay? Yeah, we're all going to die, that's a given, but it's going to be okay. We're going to make a covenant with death. And we're going to make an agreement with hell, it says there in verse 15. And, you know, I think a lot of people in the world believe that's true, that they are somehow going to get away with whatever, with life, without coming to God on His terms. I mean, has anybody ever been to a funeral where the preacher got up and said that the person in the casket was in hell? I never have. But you know that the majority of funerals are for people that are in hell. But isn't it interesting how at funerals everybody went to heaven? And what did God say? He says in verse 18, "Your covenant with death shall be disannulled. Your agreement with hell shall not stand." You can't make a covenant with death. You can't make an agreement with hell. You can only come to God on His terms. And that is through the stone, the Lord Jesus Christ. So in verse 16, that's what this passage is about. Again, you cannot make a covenant with death. The Bible says in Romans 5:12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." God's Word, the Creator, wrote us a letter, and He told us in this letter that everybody is going to die, and everybody is going to die eternally because of their sin, unless they get some supernatural help from their Creator. And that comes through the stone. Verse 16, "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." So in the midst of this, God gives us a beautiful prophecy about Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 28, in talking about their covenant with death and their agreement with hell, he talks about this stone, this foundation stone, this tried stone, this precious cornerstone, this sure foundation. That is Jesus. And He talked about it many times. Notice, if you would, in Psalm 118 and verse 22, we will find that He is the headstone of the corner. We read there that He's a precious cornerstone. Notice Psalm 118, verse 22. It says, "The stone which the builders refused, is become the headstone of the corner. Now, there's a lot of dispensational and doctrinal truth embedded there. What God is saying that is Jesus is the stone. And if Israel would have accepted Him as their Messiah, then He would have been continued to be the foundation stone of Israel. But instead, the builders, which is Israel, rejected their cornerstone, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what happened was He became the headstone of the corner. He became the headstone of something new. And so we have one of those rare little hints that, of course, David didn't know what he was prophesying of, that Jesus would become the headstone of something else, which, of course, is the church. He became the headstone of the corner. He became the cornerstone of what we refer to today as the church or the body of Christ. And that is talked about in 1 Peter 2. So let's turn over there. 1 Peter chapter 2. And we'll see that this stone that Isaiah prophesied of, and David as well, is Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 6. The Bible says, "Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone." So here, Peter is quoting the very verse we're talking about in Isaiah 28. "Elect, precious, he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded." Verse 7. "Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." So notice that the Bible says, "Unto you therefore which believe, this stone, Jesus, is precious." Praise God. And I hope you can affirm tonight that Jesus is precious to you as the stone, as the cornerstone. Now, Paul also talked about it. If you go to Ephesians chapter 2, he specifically talks about Jesus being the cornerstone of the church. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20, where the Bible says, "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone." Verse 21, "In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." Ephesians is about the church. It's about the body of Christ. We just walked through it on Wednesday nights. Jesus Christ became the headstone of the corner of the church. And we just read that here, that He is now the chief cornerstone of a building that was built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, the church. And as we read, He becomes the stumbling stone for those who won't believe Him or on Him. And that's in Romans 9. So let's turn back there, Romans 9:33. "And so the world has a choice. They can accept the stone, or they can reject the stone. If you fall upon the stone, and we'll look at this later, you'll be broken, and that's a good thing. But if you reject the stone, the Bible says it will grind you to powder." That's the two choices you have for the stone. Romans 9:33, "As it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed." So now Paul here in Romans is quoting the passage we looked at in Psalms that David wrote about Jesus becoming the stumbling stone. He's specific. Now Romans 9, if you look in the context, is about Israel. Romans 9 and 10. I mean, if you look in verse 1, "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing witness, Holy Ghost, that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh." All of chapter 9 is about God's love for the Jews, even though Romans was written to a Gentile church. He talks about the Jews, and in the context there, he's talking about Jesus becoming a stumbling stone and rock of offense, which is exactly what he is to the Jews. They have rejected this stone. They've stumbled at this stone, and they're offended at this stone. They were so offended they nailed him to a cross. It hasn't changed in 2,000 years. The Jews are still offended at this stone. And this stone, if you go to Luke chapter 20, as I mentioned earlier, every person has a choice to make. What are they going to do about Jesus, the stone? Luke chapter 20, notice down in verse 17, where Jesus himself refers back to the passage. He says, "And he beheld them and said, What is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." There was a day when someone shared the gospel with you, if you're born again, and you acknowledged that you were a sinner, that you deserved to go to hell, and that the only answer to your dilemma was Jesus. And you fell upon the stone. You fell upon him for mercy and said, "Please save me from my sin. Please give me eternal life. Please take me to heaven when I die," whatever you said. But you fell upon the stone and were broken, became a new creature in Christ. But the people who refused to acknowledge that the stone is the answer, the people who refuse to fall upon the stone, Jesus said it's going to grind them to powder. He's referring there about eternal death, going to hell. And those are the two choices. There's no middle ground with Jesus. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And God allowed Isaiah to prophesy about this foundation stone, this tried stone, this precious cornerstone. What does he mean about a tried stone? Well, if you go to Matthew 16, Jesus here talked about how he is the tested and proven stone. Now, we know what Jesus has been through, all on our behalf. The suffering of those last few days before he was crucified. The Bible says his face was marred to the point that he didn't even look like a person anymore. The Bible says he went through suffering like no one has ever gone through. His beard was plucked out by the roots. He was beaten. He was stabbed. He was mocked. He had a crown of thorns platted on his head. And on we could go. And he told Peter in Matthew 16, 18, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." If you were to look at those two words, Peter and rock, they're two different words. The word Peter meant little stone. But the word rock here is talking about a giant boulder. And so Jesus said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." He never said he would build the church on Peter. He said he would build the church on himself, because he is the cornerstone. He is the tried and precious stone. And he's to be precious to us to the point that we bring it all to him. Because the Bible says he is that foundation stone, not only of salvation, but for each one of us, for our Christian life. And that's talked about. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, where we're reminded that we daily are building our own future, if you will, in heaven, upon the rock, the stone, Jesus. Notice 1 Peter 3 down in verse 10. "According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how they build it thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." He is the foundation stone. 1 Corinthians 3, 10 and 11. Did I send you to the wrong book? What book did I send you to? 1 Peter? Sorry. I meant 1 Corinthians. You're supposed to read my mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Sorry. We'll look at it again. Verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how I buildeth thereon. Verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Verse 12. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Build upon what? This foundation. Well, what is the foundation? Verse 11. Jesus Christ is the foundation stone. So Isaiah was given this glimpse, this tiny little glimpse of Jesus becoming the cornerstone of the church as a whole, but also becoming the foundation stone of each of ours salvation or Christian life. And the day that we got saved, as David said in Psalm 40, he brought us up also out of the miry clay, out of the horrible pit, and he set our feet upon a rock. Amen? That's Jesus. He set our feet upon Jesus. He put us on the rock, and the storms come, and no matter what, we're on a rock. We're safe and secure on that rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our foundation stone. But now we have responsibility, as we're reading here, to build on that. And that we do through serving Jesus Christ. And the things that we do, we're building. And some of the things that we build with are going to burn up at the judgment. And some of the things we build with will survive the fiery test of Jesus Christ. The wood, hay, stubble is going to burn up. The gold, silver, precious stones is going to survive. Wood, hay, stubble representing works that we do for the wrong motive or for the wrong reason, whatever. Gold, silver, precious stones, the works that we did solely because we love Jesus and just to please Him. And we're building every day. And that's why God says in verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest. It'll be revealed by fire. So the house can be completely burnt up, but the stone, praise God, that's secure. Amen? He is the foundation stone of our salvation. And we're on Him. We're safe and secure. We're standing on Him if we're born again. And He is that sure foundation that Isaiah wrote about here in chapter 28. But is He that precious cornerstone? Now we'll talk more about this when we get to 1 Peter chapter 2. But is He precious? Because shouldn't that be evident by our behavior? Whether or not this cornerstone is also a precious stone to us, shouldn't that be evident by what we do for Him and how we treat Him and the time we spend with Him? Because as Peter said there in 1 Peter 2, unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. Talking about the stone, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Isaiah even said here in 28:16, a precious cornerstone. Now, He is precious to us in the sense that He saved us from hell. Praise God. But is He precious to us in our walk? You know, Jesus, what did He say? If you love me, keep my commandments. If I am truly precious to you, it will be obvious by your behavior, what you do for me, that you're obeying me, that you're living for me. And so it's a daily thing. It's not just the foundation of our salvation, which, praise God, delivers us on Judgment Day from our sin, but it's a daily building on this precious cornerstone with what we choose to do or not do for Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior. He is the precious cornerstone. He is the sure foundation. He is the tried stone. Think about what He went through to become the foundation stone of our salvation. Think of all the suffering that He voluntarily allowed to take place that He might be that tried stone for you and for me. Think about that. And I want to finish in 1 Corinthians 10, if we could, where we're reminded that Jesus Christ has always been this rock. You know, in Deuteronomy 32, Jehovah said that He was the rock. I'll read the verse quickly. Deuteronomy, I believe it's 32:4. Yes, Deuteronomy 32:4, the Bible says, He is the rock, talking about Jehovah. But then here in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4, they did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. It's talking about Israel. So it's never been different. Jesus has always been the rock. He was the rock that gave them water, which is also referring to, but it says this rock was following them, watching over them, feeding them manna, keeping their shoes from wearing out, protecting them from other nations. The rock that followed them was Christ, and the rock that follows us is Christ. Because didn't He say, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? So this rock becomes not only our foundation on which we choose to build, because He's precious to us, but this rock also follows us, protects us, blesses us, watches over us. Praise God for this precious cornerstone, sure foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ, the stone. And I believe God would ask us that question. Is this rock, is this stone precious to you? And that should be evident, not by what we say with our mouth, but how we live our lives. Let's pray.